Hey, it's your old pal Slim, and this is 70 Millimeter, a podcast for film lovers. Every Monday, I sit down to talk about recently watched movies with my dear friend and artist, Danny Haas.
Tangled is the best Disney movie that has come out since the Renaissance. I mean, that's a fact. Everyone knows that, so.
And our own spiritual advisor, Pertalexis.
My other Sam Neill note is his chest cavity. You want to talk about V formation.
We're kicking off Leading Ladies Month Volume 2 with Jane Campion's Oscar-winning movie from 1993, The Piano. Is this a gothic masterpiece? Or are we flummoxed by love? Find out right now. Should we start with Oscar talk? Danny wants to talk about the big Oscar news, the winners.
Who won?
What was the biggest movie out of all of them, Danny, in your opinion? Who was the big winner?
The big winner of the night is Coda.
Confirmed.
Okay. Best picture. I gave it 5 stars. Matt gave it 5 stars. Proto never watched it. But, really excited that it won.
Proto was still in caves fighting, orcs and crabs and hawks.
Goblins.
Rats.
Living his life. It's okay.
Proto, did you even know the Oscars took place, or were you, leveling up in Elder Ring?
What did I do that night? Oh, I think Jenna and I, she bamboozled me into starting, she bamboozled me into turning on the new Amy Schumer show.
All right. We don't have to talk.
I think on Netflix called Life and Beth or something.
Okay.
I would never, I'm like, wait, is that Amy Schumer? Because I would never. But I actually did have a good time watching the first 2 episodes. She wrote and directed it. And it's shockingly, I enjoyed it from what I saw. But I bamboozled her by not telling her the Oscars were on, because she would have definitely wanted to watch that. There's no way I'm watching the Oscars. So
there was simultaneous bamboozles happening on that couch. Yep. And neither one of you were the wiser.
Yep. Yeah. And I got to wake up the next morning and catch up in 30 seconds. What it took most people, how long is the Oscars? 5, 6
hours? It was a lifetime.
A long time.
Yeah.
Felt too long.
So I think I won.
You could be the big winner of the night.
The big winner of the night is Proto and Jenna.
Maybe we can Photoshop some kind of Oscar in Proto's hands at some point. But there was like a million messages in our awards channel in Discord. There was live streaming happening. A lot of buzz.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched Coda the next day after it won.
Proud
I had to see what the buzz was all about. And the buzz is real.
Really? Mm.
It's all real. All of it. Quote Han Solo. I cried like a big old baby on my couch with my laptop out watching that movie. Danny was right. I'll get a clean audio file. Danny was right.
Put it on a shirt.
Thank you. We'll get that on a mug.
And then Jane Campion, who directed our feature Prezzo this week, The Piano, won for Power of the Dog. So Leading Ladies Month, starting off with a bang. Jane knew that we were doing this theme for this month.
Thank you,
of April,
Jane.
The Oscar committee knew.
They were listening.
The voting body. What did you think? Any main takeaways from the Oscar, Danny, that you wanted to point out?
Troy from Coda. I was super happy to see him win for Best Supporting. I didn't realize until recently that he's also Star Wars fame. He was recently in the Book of Boba. And he's one of the signing Tusken Raiders.
What?
And he created the Tusken Raider sign language for them to use.
What?
So Troy is next level in my books.
Wow. How about the translator getting choked up?
Oh my gosh. Translator was crying.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah.
If you watch that acceptance speech and you don't start getting emotional,
it's a great speech.
You're a robot. You're an emotional robot.
Yeah.
I want you gone. That's all my takeaways from Oscars. I was watching, everyone knows, I was really watching the On Cinema Oscar special with Sam Heidecker and Greg Turkington. We don't have to get into it.
King Greg.
My king, my sweet princes, those two. But Danny, you watch Brave.
I did watch Brave.
When are we going to do Brave on this show? So that we finally figure this out.
Have you never seen it?
No.
Have you seen it, Proto?
Yeah, I've seen it. Of course I've seen it.
Okay.
Wait, am I thinking of Tangled? Which do you love more, Brave or Tangled?
Tangled I love more. Tangled is the best Disney movie that has come out since the Renaissance.
That's high praise.
Yeah. I mean, that's a fact. Everyone knows that, so we're okay with this. Yeah, we watched Brave. One of my daughters, Jane, picked it to watch one day, and so I'm not going to say no, because I do love that movie. And I wasn't sure, because it's been 10 years since that film had come out. I mean, most of these Pixar movies, like if you watch Toy Story 1, it's atrocious to watch.
It's horrifying to see that.
But man, the animation in Brave has really held up quite well, especially the landscape shots in the beginning, and even the animated characters still look great 10 years later. So yeah, we watched Brave, and then we found out that George had never seen Monsters, Inc. So we threw on Monsters, Inc. as well.
I love how you're talking about, like, we found out George has never seen this movie. George is your son.
He's also like,
I know,
seven,
right? But so many movies get played in this house. It's hard to keep up who's seen what.
Mm-hmm.
So we threw on Monsters, Inc. Still a banger. Love that movie. Casey mentions in chat, we have a lot of children. We have 4 kids, okay? Can't keep up with all their loves. So we watched Monsters, Inc. So much fun. I love that movie. I love Billy Crystal as Mike Wazowski. So much fun. And then Casey and I had a weekend movie date. We saw The Lost City, Sandy Bullock, Channing Tatum, Brad Pitt.
Wow.
What a movie. Three stars.
Was this on the cloth couch theater?
No, we went to a reclining seat theater.
Okay.
Love that movie. It was so silly, so funny. Hour and a half, good time in the theater.
How was the chemistry between Tatum and Sandra?
I don't know. I don't know if there was I don't know if you can like chemistry, but they're funny together. Mm-hmm. I honestly think Brad Pitt blew my socks off, made me laugh so hard.
Whoa.
I mean, there were some laugh out loud moments in the movie, but man, Brad got me good in it.
Brad.
Good for Brad.
But I do want some more. I would love some more like adventures of the two of them.
Mm-hmm. She's going into like retirement. She's going into like semi-retirement now. Be with her family.
Good for her. Take a break.
To circle back, trademark, to Brave. Why is it that Brave isn't talked about in the like echelon of Pixar movies? This isn't a troll question. I just don't know. It's not like
mainstream.
Probably
because it's a princess story.
Mm. Yeah, but Moana, people like Moana.
Right? It's a Disney movie.
Oh.
I think when Pixar did their first princess-esque leading lady movie, I don't know if everybody vibed with it as well.
They weren't ready.
But I think most people still love Brave. It's got an underrated score. It's really beautiful. I don't know. Maybe because she's not your typical fall in love with the prince, happy, you know, run off happy ending, happily ever after type movie. But I really love it. Merida is a great character.
Could have been our leading lady's pick, but...
Could have been.
Maybe next year.
Let's say hello to some new patrons that joined this past week. Dylan, Edward, Jess, and Warren all joined us at patreon.com/70mm. Get access to uncut episodes. Our episodes in the 70mm vault. We just recently added... what was the most recent Harry Potter we did? Order of the Phoenix. Wow, what an experience we all, the three of us, had to talk about that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you also get access to our VHS Village to talk movies, hang out during Oscar night if you're so inclined. And there's a lot of buzz in there this week about this Leading Ladies Month, our theme this month. We're finally going back. Enough of these dudes.
Get them out of here.
We freaking had it.
Enough.
Overrated.
Brodo, did you watch any movies this week?
I did. I was able to watch the new movie from Adrian Lin, the movie Deep Water.
Oh.
Oh, my.
Starring Ben Affleck and Ana de Armas.
The Hulu membership has not expired just yet. You yeah. have until the end of the month, maybe.
Hanging on.
Was this in theater?
No, it had they held it back and was long delayed. So everyone just kind of assumed it was like a snoozer. And then it just got unceremoniously dropped on Hulu.
Okay. Well, I gave it 3 stars. It's the movie, it's about the couple and the wife played by Anna. She kind of has just an open relationship. She's very sexual, very active in the boudoir. They have an agreement together that she can kind of do whatever she wants, kind of. And we kind of just see their relationship play out as there's these quote unquote friends, who keep hanging around. And, Vic, who's played by Ben Affleck, you know, he just deals with it the way he can. I watching this, I would say the most important thing is I discovered that I really love Ben Affleck as an actor.
Thank you.
Oh my.
Thank you.
I think he is one of the most natural actors in Hollywood. Mm. He has like a depth to his acting, stuff that's going on underneath the surface. He's so natural as an actor. He's just like very compelling to me whenever he's on the screen. Mm. I just love watching him. And I don't think the story isn't that great, but my attention was really just held by the two leads. I thought they were fantastic in this movie.
Was the moment that turned Ben around for you, probably, maybe the seed was planted, was it Zack Snyder's Justice League, that episode that we did?
Yeah, I think that's where the seed was planted.
Have you ever seen Gone Girl? There's a lot of Gone Girl comments in chat.
No, I've had Gone Girl on my watch list for like a decade now.
I liked Gone Girl.
I'd love to watch it.
I don't think Ben's ever missed.
I'm going to look up his filmography right now. Good Will Hunting.
Home Run.
Mm. Argo.
Another Home Run. Run.
The Town.
Home Run.
Pearl Harbor.
He was great.
He did us.
Silence.
He was Daredevil. In that movie.
Oh, that'd be fun to do a Daredevil episode.
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine Proto talking about... Can you imagine Proto talking about Daredevil for 30 minutes?
Electric.
Remember,
what's his face in that? Bullseye.
Colin Farrell.
Yeah, Colin Farrell.
Maybe one of the worst performances ever put to the silver screen. Oh, Colin Farrell is Bullseye.
Him and Julia Garner fighting on the... Is that where they're fighting on the playground?
Yeah. And they fall in love.
Jennifer.
What else, Proto? Is that it?
Oh, yeah, that was it. That's all I got to. Busy week for me. Busy, busy week.
Do you want to provide an update for our gamer fans on what the status is of your character in Elder Ring? How are we looking? How many hours into it are you? And what does the future hold for Proto in this game?
Thank you. I have made it through the Lindell capital.
Oh, my.
Let's see. Morgott is down. I cleared the catacombs. I don't know if I'd recommend going in there. There's a lot of rats. But I cleared it because I love this game so much. I'm just like pretty much clearing everything. My hours, I will not be revealing. I will not be revealing the number.
We can search this in the Xbox.
It doesn't matter
if we have
many.
We'll look
at it. No, I'm hiding that. I'm deleting my account.
You can't.
You can't hide it. We can find it out. If anyone has the Xbox app in chat right now, please find Elden Ring, compare with your friends, and show us the
Jenna, stop.
Jenna, step on the Xbox immediately. Unplug it from the wall.
Alvin, you know what to do.
Unleash Alvin.
But things are going great in Elden Ring. I will be the Elden Lord, maybe by next week. Okay. Stay tuned.
Every week we give away a free year of Letterboxd Pro for folks that share this show on social media. Disclaimer, I'm a Letterboxd employee. And someone talked about some new prints that they bought for their office wall, and that was Real Noel Gray. They posted some Speed Racer art on that wall. The first of many, I presume. Danny, how did it look seeing that Speed Racer piece up there?
It looked great. It looked great seeing someone love Speed Racer enough to buy the art print.
Former producer of the show, Ian, now disgraced, is allegedly revealing the hour count, and Proto was at 5 days, 15 hours.
That's not accurate. He just made that up.
I cannot
believe
it.
We're not even friends on Xbox.
That's a lot of hours.
Ian doesn't have an Xbox.
Holy cow. We already talked about Coda. I think that was the main thing that I wanted to talk about this week.
How about the ending of Coda? Those last 20 minutes
dynamite
of that
Dynamite ending. Absolutely dynamite. It was purely constructed to make me cry.
We're
like
not
a
spoiling
baby.
It. We're not spoiling it. Just the dynamite.
No. Oh, I can talk about Nightmare Alley.
You watched it.
I watched Nightmare Alley this weekend in preparation for an episode of the Letterboxd show. So I checked that off my list because I knew another guest was going to be talking about it. I thought it looked great. I was kind of bummed that it didn't actually win production design. I thought it deserved it over the whatever movie did win. I can't remember. But I thought Bradley Cooper was kind of a dud, to be honest. I thought he was just, he didn't have like any charisma. In my review, I pointed out that like he's allegedly the world's greatest con man, but I don't know, he couldn't con his way out of a paper bag with that personality that he had in that movie. I did agree that he looked like he would make a great Indiana Jones, though.
Thank you.
Also, I didn't realize that there was full frontal Bradley. You guys didn't talk about that, did you?
Excuse me?
Did you know that? When he gets in the bathtub, I missed it, but when he gets in the bathtub, there's a mirror in that room.
Well, I'm not checking all the mirrors.
Did you see that?
Wow. No.
I did not. I'll have to go back.
Just saying.
We'll have to rewind.
Tell everyone you know to go back and screenshot that.
Kate Blanchett, though.
Please, no one screenshot that and put it in chat. Just preemptively giving a good warning. Band. Do not do that. Let's try to keep it a safe place for now.
Please.
I also watched Spencer. I fell asleep at least
like
two
Spencer.
Times during that movie. It was not vibing for me.
Feeling
so that was my Oscar journey this week. Leading Ladies Month, Volume 2. Danny's pick to kick off the month, Jane Campion, The Piano, 1993. And our dear friend Vontmer's back again to accompany Proto's beautiful words. Proto, what is this movie?
The Piano. Ada McGrath does not speak. She has a daughter, Flora, who interprets for her. Ada's one treasured possession is a piano, which she takes with her from her home in Scotland to her new husband in New Zealand. But her husband, Alice Dare, refuses to haul her piano from the beach to their home. Unwilling to part with it, Ada insists on traveling to the beach to play it, accompanied by a neighbor, George Baines. George, enraptured by Ada's music, offers Alice Dare land in exchange for the piano. Once the piano is in his home, George strikes a deal with Ada. Play for him, and she can earn the piano back. Ada agrees and begins a tenuous relationship with George. As discoveries are made and mysteries are revealed, a new journey for Ada will emerge. From a life that was handed to her to a future that is hers to decide. The Piano.
My gosh.
We're putting in work
that
this
on
week.
The poster.
5 days, 14 hours, my ass.
Thank
Seriously.
You.
Seriously. There's no way he played
people
that much.
Like I'm
that.
Not working here.
Thank you.
Which, by the way, I'm not sure if Proto's going to comment on it just yet. But I got, I saw a new IG account pop up this week. Did anyone else see that? Danny, did you see a new IG account pop up this week?
I didn't get a follow back, but I saw one.
Yeah, that was offensive to me. There's only, that account is only following one person and it's Proto. So that's all I'm going to say this week.
Thank you.
With that said, this is Danny's pick. What drew you to this film to kick off this Leading Ladies Month?
Definitely coming into Oscar season with Campion up against Spielberg. When I looked back at the past, when she lost Best Picture with The Piano, she lost it to Spielberg. That's when the movie kind of popped up onto my radar. I had seen the poster quite a bit. It's a great poster, her isolated on the beach. It just instantly was on my radar recently. And when we decided to do Leading Ladies Month again, I knew this was my pick that I wanted to do for the month, especially with Campion in the air. And she just was really, I was really vibing. And Power of the Dog was, I mean, I loved that movie. Mm-hmm. So why not watch another Campion film?
I just looked at the Best Picture nominees for 1994. So for movies from 1993, The Piano, The Fugitive was nominated for Best Picture.
Wow. I mean, it's a good movie, but Best Picture?
Is Google like scamming me? Is this a fake result? I can't believe this. So Schindler's List won. The other two nominees were The Remains of the Day with Anthony Hopkins and Emma Thompson, and In the Name of the Father with Daniel Day-Lewis. Yeah.
Huh. Oh, wow, wow.
What an interesting grouping of movies.
Mm-hmm.
Proto, do you have any history with The Piano?
No, I had it on my watch list. And then after I saw Power of the Dog, I was like, I have to watch more Jane Campion because I really enjoyed The Power of the Dog and her directing style. I would say that movie just has like an air about it. Kind of in the way when I watch a Paul Thomas Anderson movie, like there's some kind of vibe that these like certain directors are able to project through their films. And I feel like she is very good at doing that. So just like very engaging. And I was just, after seeing Power of the Dog, I wanted to watch more. And this seemed, I mean, it, you know, won an Oscar. Seemed like the one to watch.
So before we get into each host's, you know, three notes that we want to bring up before we give our final rating for our Letterboxd rating, I'm going to reveal a DM this
week. Excuse me.
It's my own message, so I'm able to do that. Okay. But I sat down to watch this movie, and 20 minutes in, I had to send you guys a text and reveal that I had been watching The Pianist for 20 minutes.
Amazing.
Before I realized, I was like, wait a minute, this isn't the right movie. So I just, you know, I had to be honest with everyone. That was a real thing that happened. Then I finally put on the right movie. I was in autopilot mode firing that movie up. So that's my truth.
Slim, did you have any history with The Piano?
No, I knew that it existed. I knew that there was something to do with a missing finger and a piano. And that was literally all I had known about this movie for years. Movies from this era, this is a total outside of my wheelhouse. I'm not tracking down Best Picture movies, you know, up until probably when we started this podcast.
Yeah.
The podcast is probably the only reason why I would have started to go through the journey of films from this era. I still haven't even seen Schindler's List. I'll be frank with you right now. Yeah, I have not seen Schindler's List.
I saw Schindler's List in school.
No, it was never shown in my school. And if it's not shown in your school, at least for me, you know, are you going to be in the mood to watch Schindler's List in your free time? True. Probably not. So that's just, but yeah, that's just why I've never seen it. So let's start with you, Danny. What's your number one thing for The Piano for this
Number
movie?
One thing for Piano for me is Holly Hunter. When I saw that she was in this, I did not know the story of this. And when I think about Holly Hunter, she has one of the most distinguished voice. Like her voice is so ingrained. If I heard just a clip of her talking, I would know it's Holly Hunter. And so for her to do this entire movie mute. I was quite shocked. I mean, it's a shocking thing to see, and to see her do it so well. On top of that, because of the time frame of when this is set in the 1800s, sign language wasn't like a universal sign language wasn't a thing. So she created the sign language that they have in the film and taught it to Anna Paquin, which is wild to me. And then on even outside of that, she's playing the piano parts that you see in the film. Like she also plays the piano in this. So it's just, I couldn't get over her performance. I thought she was quite brilliant in this, mm-hmm. with the amount of emotion that she can portray and exude through facial expressions and mannerisms, and even just, you know, changing a song that she's playing to, you know, change the mood in the room. I thought Holly was incredible in this film.
Yeah, I mean, I think Holly won for Best Actress, Anna won for Best Supporting, and mm-hmm. this one Best Original Screenplay for Campion. So you're right. She might have the most distinctive female voice.
Man. Listening to her interviews for this, I was just like, man, that voice mm-hmm. is just, it's just Holly Hunter.
Yeah. I also saw that I think Sigourney Weaver was originally going to be cast in the role as well. So I wonder what that movie would have felt like with a different actor. Well, Holly,
when I watched some interviews with Jane, Jane was definitely not wanting Holly in this, but Holly kind of fought for the role because she thought that Holly was too short and wasn't who she pictured for this. She wanted someone tall and, you know, kind of striking. Mm-hmm. But Holly like called Jane or whatever, it was back in 93, got her on the phone basically and just kind of not begged, but said that she could do this role, and she kind of met with her and she won Jane over, which is impressive.
Yeah. My number one. I feel more comfortable now bringing this up since you brought up a female in the movie. Harvey Keitel's body at the age of 54.
Vision.
This man is packing heat in this film. I don't know what, like you could see, you know, and like when your abs go down, you have that like V formation when you're working out so hard and you're eating so well, you can see that like V formation by the hips.
Yeah.
What's he cooking up at his age back then?
Chiseled.
Living in the bush.
Excuse me?
Living in the bush.
He's doing something
method
right.
Acting.
He's doing something right. Pardo, what do you think of Harvey Keitel in this movie?
Well, to be honest, when we decided to do Leading Ladies Month, I did not foresee two of our movies featuring Harvey Keitel's tight ass, as Slim would say. Like, who knew? The first two movies.
Yeah.
You know, the first one is kind of just a glimpse in Thelma and Louise, but this, we get the whole package. We get that and more.
Mm-hmm. This is more Harvey Keitel movies I've seen in the last 2 weeks than I have seen in the last maybe 10 years for this podcast. Yeah.
That's the thing. I don't know if I've ever seen a movie with him as like a leading man. I can't think of a movie where he's not just like a supporting character. So even as a leading man, I didn't know really what to make of it. And also his character, I mean, the first half of this movie really had me on my heels, if I can be honest.
Please.
I couldn't really get a grapple on the mood of this, you know, what was going on between these characters. I took a break. I think I was at the 45-minute mark. And Jenna was like, how's the movie? And I was like, I don't know. I think it's better that you're not watching this one with me. Cause I just wasn't sure what to make. Like he kind of creeped me out.
Yeah.
In the beginning there. Right.
Yeah. I was going to ask about, you know, obviously this is a major point of the movie, but you know, he essentially buys her prized piano, which Sam Neill refused to take from the beach. And says that you can have it back from me so long as you play in my house and I'm able to do whatever I like to do while you're playing. So he kind of like gets naked, sits on his bed. he like goes down to smell her boots while she's playing. So she has agreed to do so many sessions before she gets the piano back. And for the most of that, I was like, man, what are people talking about the piano for? This is kind of creeping me out. Mm. But later in the movie, he kind of agrees with that.
The arrangement is making you a whore and me wretched. I want you to care for me. But you can't.
You could almost say that, like, he wasn't getting what he wanted out of that kind of odd relationship. He wants her to, like, love him.
Yeah.
And it wasn't happening, so he just ended it. At least that's how I kind of, like, you know, prepared myself to kind of be okay and understand their relationship. Danny, how did you feel about it?
Not much different than you. It was really hard to watch. It's just something that... it was unsettling to just have her kind of sexually exploited for, you know, getting this piano back. And I don't know. I mean, Harvey, just seeing Harvey, this is not really a knock against him. I'm sure he's a nice gentleman, but just kind of getting to a point where, cause she eventually does fall for him. I mean, she does kind of end up, and I just couldn't picture it how we were going to get to that point because, I mean, Sam Neill's character is very, you know, the complete opposite. He's kind of this old-fashioned masculinity. I'm the head of the house. You have to show me affection before, you know, for anything as my wife. And it's just very weird juxtaposition with these two men in this film. And I don't know. It was really odd and off-putting, a lot of the Harvey scenes.
I think there's a lot, too, that is you kind of have to, like, glean from and, like, infer from what's going on around. Mm-hmm. One thing as I was been thinking about this movie is that it seemed like Harvey's character, George, he really, I think he's a, like, a I don't even know, I guess a New Zealander, but, you know, not a native. Mm-hmm. But he's kind of adopted the culture.
Yeah, you know, he has the Maori culture.
Yeah, he has the tattoos on his face. And it seemed like there's a few scenes with their culture where they seem like very open about sexuality. Like they're talking about it, like, hey, you have to find a mate.
Right.
Yada, yada. But then like you see Sam Neill, who's on the other side, who's like very austere, very rigid, mm-hmm. barely knows how to talk to like, you know, a woman. So I think seeing that, it seems like it was almost like a clash of cultures as well.
Yeah.
Where like Harvey has, you know, this other view and kind of like this more open approach. And then Sam Neill's character is just like, you know, completely closed off, mm-hmm. which where Ada is coming from. And there's like that clash between them, which is just, it's just really fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like I had not seen that in a film before and it was almost like I'm not used to it. So I don't even know what to think about it, but I do want to call out Throwbridge's review on Letterboxd, maybe crack up. It's a pretty long review, but he talks about Sam Neill in his last sentence. Sam Neill putting in work on those glutes. We're talking a pair of country lobes back there. Throwbridge, I hope you never see my calves. Oh my God. Sam Neill to shame, my friend. So Proto, what is your number one for this film?
So my number one is, I think the story about why she doesn't speak is interesting. Mm-hmm. Right. So in the beginning, as the narrator, she says she stopped speaking when she was six. She doesn't, no one knows why. She doesn't even know why. But then at one point, her daughter tells the story, Anna Paquin's character, of how she was married to her father and they were in a forest and he dies. And at that point, she like never spoke again. And I think it's just the, there's a lot in this movie that I feel like would take multiple viewings to kind of uncover of what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Which it's a very rich movie in terms of like themes and ideas, which is cool. And I've been thinking, you know, I finished it last night and I've been thinking about it throughout the day. And one of the things about just like her not having her voice, I think it's, you know, a clear metaphor to, you know, women not having a voice in a lot of circumstances in life and society. And the one scene that really just struck me so hard is when, after she's with George, her husband, played by Sam Neill, basically assaults her and tries to rape her as she's like fleeing from him outside. And the whole, that scene, it's like, it's really tough to watch, but the whole time I'm watching it, all I kept thinking, and I was thinking this the whole movie, I was like, when is she going to speak? At some point she's going to speak, she's going to do something. And in that scene, I just kept thinking like, she's got to cry out. She like, if she can just yell or speak, she can escape. But then just like thinking that, I thought like, how not true is that at all? Right. Like how is like a woman having a voice is often is the same as them not having a voice.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing that scene is just like so powerful of like that, of that, you know, that truth that even with a voice, so many women are kept silent in so many aspects of life. So I just found that scene like really powerful.
Yeah.
It's true too. Even at the end, there isn't really that moment where, oh, I am speaking, like you unlocked it. Hello, I'm back. But because even at the end of the movie, she's like, I'm starting to learn how to speak again.
Yeah.
It's still gradual. It's not just like a light switch where, oh, I'm healed, I'm better. And I did see another review where it did posit the same question about like what did cause her to lose her voice. Some people were theorizing that like she was assaulted at a young age. Maybe that is, maybe that's where Flora comes from.
Mm.
You know, maybe it is a result of that. Maybe her father. And it's just kind of like this unspoken thing where that is what closed her up and eventually kind of led her self-expression to the piano itself. And you can kind of like expand on your theories from there. Danny, what's your number two?
My number two, I want to talk about the ending of the film where I think I stopped breathing for a good 2 minutes when she threw the piano over into the ocean and steps her foot into the rope to have it also pull her over and essentially drown her into the sea. What was wild is we already have the moment where she gets her finger cut off, and that is such a high, like that scene is so intense.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's kind of over. Like she's going off, she's going with Baines, start a new life. She has her piano. Even I was like, oh yeah, throw it over. That's awesome.
Right.
But when she sticks her foot in for it to pull her over as well, and she's drowning herself, I think I just stopped breathing for a few minutes. I was just shocked. I was not prepared for that kind of, I don't know, ending. I mean, she obviously gets saved by the Maori and pulled back on, and she has that kind of inner head monologue about starting her new life. But man, what a scene. Like what a scene to kind of bookend this film. And the visualization of her being pulled down by the piano in the ocean. I mean, it was absolutely incredible.
What a death. What a chance. What a surprise. My will has chosen life.
Yeah, I think even Jane has said years later that if she had made this movie now, she might have made that the actual ending of her being pulled down and be darker. I mean, that piano looks so expensive. I mean, can you imagine just dumping that piano in the ocean? Oh my God. But that scene was nutty. I mean, because you're right. It tricks you into thinking, up. Oh, you know, she's metaphorically leaving everything in the past. She's moving on. Oh, yeah. Shit. No, she's going down with it. Mm. She's going down with the past.
It's so well shot to leading up to it. Like the shot of her putting her foot in. Yeah. I don't know what it was about it, but it struck me as like I don't know. It was just, yeah. It got me good.
Sarah says in chat, that's what I'm saying. The actual ending made it a super weird take on feminism to me. I did see some reviews that were, you know, questioning what this movie's role is in that discussion. So interesting way to end the movie.
Well, I think, isn't it open-ended as to what happens? Like, couldn't you say, I feel like it's like one of those, it's like a double ending where it's kind of like choose your own adventure. Did she escape and continue on, or did she just let herself sink to the bottom? That's how I interpreted it, which is a powerful way to end a movie. I feel like this ending, I haven't been struck this hard by an ending since probably Parasite.
Why?
Or
yeah, the last 10 minutes of this movie is really something else. I'll tell you what. Like it's beautiful the way it's shot. And like you're saying, just like, you know, the metaphor of the whatever the piano represents. And that's even a complicated thing. You know, it's this thing that she seems to love dearly. She's gifted as all get out of, you know, playing it. But then it is also like this weight that she's lugging around with her that she won't even leave on the beach.
Yeah.
And then also just like I don't know what it might represent, but just I thought the finger looked amazing. Like how cool is it that like
really fashioned nicely?
Well, there was like some really cool stuff that I wasn't expecting in this. Like that felt, I mean, it feels like kind of like steampunk, but then how about like her having like paranormal ability is to like telepathically speak to people through their minds.
That was very interesting.
I didn't really pick up on that until after the movie. I read the wiki and there's that first part about the mental whatchamacallit. And then she's, you know, Sam Neill hears her voice at one point and tells him to let her go. And then he goes to Baines and say like, have you ever heard her speak before? And that's kind of what like freaks him out and triggers him to release her from his custody pretty much. So I didn't know how to interpret that, to be honest.
Well, I thought those scenes, I felt like they were effing with me because whatever Jane Campion was doing, the way it was shot, I thought I was hearing her speak. Like it was weird. Did anyone else feel that way watching this?
I don't think so, but I'm liking this take.
Part of having experience. Well,
I think Harvey's character has that experience because there's one point where he leans in and he says, you know, whisper it to me. And it seems like he gets something from her, but it's that he, you know, he's hearing her not through, you know, her speaking, but in a different way.
Omar has a great comment. I took that as them trying to gain empathy for the first time.
Hmm.
Those male characters. Mm. Are we on number two? We're still on number two. My number two is Ada playing the piano on that New Zealand beach. Holy cow.
Excuse me.
That is gorgeous. I mean, it looks gorgeous and you're playing the piano on a friggin' beach. Mm-hmm. I mean, how great must that have sounded? No wonder Harvey Keitel is instantly transfixed with her and how he feels. Oh my God. Can you imagine just hanging out on a beach, someone playing piano like that?
Right? It needs to be on every beach.
Holy cow. Also, this is tied into one of my other honorable mentions, but I mean, just New Zealand as the setting. You know, any other movie, this is in like Britain, England, you know, and you get, you know, just a old ass house, mansion. But I love the setting. I love that this was in New Zealand. I love that it added, you know, a definite twist, a quote unquote gothic nature in some of these scenes. Yeah. But I love that a lot.
It made it feel very foreign. I didn't really know what to make. I couldn't really get a footing on even like the time period. And then, you know, they land on this beach, they hike to this place, and it's just mud.
Yeah, like so much mud.
What are you doing? Where are you living? And then it seemed like they were kind of alone. But then as the movie goes on, there's a lot more people there. I was like, mm-hmm. oh, okay, this is, you know, this is like a real community. But I think that was another thing that kind of had me off balance, is that I wasn't even really sure where we were and what was going on.
Danny, number two?
Number two, it's really just Sam Neill and Harvey. There was something pretty amazing about their performances in this and how polar opposite they were as men in ways of, in the ways that they treated Ada. It's really hard to explain this film. I watched it twice this week. I just couldn't get over how good they were in this film alongside of Holly and even Anna. Like every performance in this film just felt, really just great. I mean, I don't know how else to explain it. That and pairing with the cinematography of this film, mm-hmm. Jane's direction. I mean, I was kind of taken by this film. I really was.
You know, Sam Neill's character was so insufferable. And at the same time, when he is realizing that he has no emotional connection to her, and he's right. trying, like there's scenes where he's just like laying in bed with her, trying to force a spark just by laying there, and he can't get it. And also when he sees them canoodling in his house, and that dog like comes
oh
up.
Oh my like, God. Jane, please.
Jane.
Please. I thought Sam was amazing in the role. There's one scene that I wanted to point out where they're on the hill, they're like hammering these posts down. Did you notice how lightly Sam Neill was hammering that post? It was almost like he was that extra in that Bond movie doing that fake sweep, and he wasn't even sweeping the ground. Sam, please, pull it together.
I thought this could be like some kind of tie into Possession. With his character. He had the same crazy energy that he had in that movie.
Crazy Sam Neill energy. There was one, I wrote one other Sam Neill scene down. He asks her, "Are you feeling better?" And it was after he lopped off her finger. Yeah. Like, what did she, you mean my finger that you just cut off? Yeah, I'm feeling better now. Thanks
for
that.
Hey, honey, how are you doing?
That scene was nuts too. Oh my God.
Yeah, that was brutal. I don't know how he only got one finger off
my
of
other
axe.
Sam Neill precision note is his chest cavity. Did you guys notice this? You would talk about V formation. I don't know what's going on with his rib cage. I need that investigated.
No other podcast analyzes the male form like this one. I dare you to find another one. Mm-hmm. I dare you. Probably, what's your number two?
Three.
Are
I was we? On three.
Danny's out. Danny's already given his three, but Proto's on two.
So there's some really beautiful shots in this. Two that I love. The first one, when they get the piano back, and it's clear that Ada is having feelings for George at this point, and she won't play the piano, but her daughter does. And then there's this really long extended shot of just like into the woods. Do you guys remember this shot?
Yeah, definitely.
God, it was the combination of what came before and then this like moment of contemplation of like peering into the woods was just like so beautiful. I was really struck by the quiet moments in this because there's so much that isn't said. And then that I found that also true with the male characters, which is so fascinating, was that there were so many points where they couldn't speak either. It's like they lost their voice, which I found really fascinating.
But I was going to say, we talked about legalized gambling. I'm wondering if Proto's going to give 5-star right now. I'm thinking of all these V'ger bets that have been placed this week that might be thrown asunder from Proto's rating. It's very unexpected.
Another beautiful shot, though, is... when they're at the end, when they're leaving and they have all their luggage on the beach and it's a picture of her sitting there facing the ocean. My God, that looked like a painting. That was really gorgeous.
What was also crazy is watching, you mentioned this earlier about just Jane Campion and her style. Watching this in the Criterion 4K, it's wild to see a movie, like to watch Power of the Dog and all the things that visually that I love about Power of the Dog and her pacing and how she tells that story. She hasn't changed. Like she's been doing this kind of amazing directorial stylings since 93. Like I was watching this film. I'm just like, man, she's been this good for so long. It's just, I was blown away.
Yeah, I meant to ask. So you watched the 4K disc.
Mm-hmm.
Proto and I were not able to obtain a 4K disc in time for recording, but how was it? How
insane.
How did it look?
It's gorgeous. It really is. And it really does her wide shots of New Zealand quite well.
Oh.
It's insane. I mean, even the rain scenes with Alistair's hut and kind of all that, it's kind of worth it. It really is.
My number three was just the style. So I'll piggyback on Proto's thoughts. I do wish that I did watch this in 4K. I will say the 1080p version that I watched looked great. This movie has such a specific style to it visually. And we talked about how Jurassic Park came out the same year, but it's like these movies are from two different universes. You know, like it just boggles the mind. I mean, I guess it's pretty simple to shoot a gorgeous movie on that New Zealand beach. Maybe you can make it look really well easily, but damn, it looked good. The whole thing looked good. So I think that might be my number three, my final point. So maybe we go back to Proto for Proto's final one.
You know, speaking of the style, this actually reminded me of like a Werner Herzog film. He often, a lot of his movies are shot in exotic locations. And I think he's notorious for not really having a script. And I kind of felt that watching this. You know, one of my notes is, you know, where and what the hell is going on in this movie? Because there isn't really much. The first half, it's really hard to have a sense of, you know, where it's going. And then there, the middle portion has a turn where it's like, okay, there's something going on between George and Ada. And trying to make sense of, even now, seeing the whole thing, of what even happened with their relationship. You know, does she love George? Did she always love him? And she was like, you know, just like holding him at arm's length. Did it grow on her? Was it did he have something like his ability to connect with her in some way? Because by the end of this, there's like that wonderful scene where she's practicing speaking by just really just like doing the alphabet. And he comes up to her and they have like this really tender moment where it's like clear that they love each other deeply. But it's I would say this is like a love story, but it's hard to nail down.
Yeah. One of the things that I was thinking about was for me, the metaphor of the piano is, I mean, that is her voice. And when she realizes, like while she's playing, outside of any sort of sexual advances he made, he's still loving her for, you know, her ability to play the piano, and he's loving watching her perform. And I think there's just something to that of, you know, having someone recognize you for your talent. Her voice is the piano. I think there is something there to how she recognized that he was, falling in love with her because of that. There is something there for sure.
I agree that Sarah is vehement that there was no love to be had. The piano was the only love story in chat. I do agree that this is a very thought-provoking relationship between the two of them. I did see in one review pointed out that, you know, once she agreed to give in to his advances, his first move was to get on his knees and take care of her first. So I thought that was a kind of like not so subtle showing of their relationship and how it progressed from that moment on. So I thought that was a great note in one review that I read. I think this is a gorgeous movie. I appreciated that it made me not understand and think about their relationship in a way that other love stories maybe don't. Maybe it's like completely obvious. You know, that's not, it's not thought provoking, but this one was. So I'm at 4 stars for The Piano for this feeling.
I was not vibing with this to start, but it is a movie that grew on me until it really was barreling towards the ending. Like, this movie really picks up momentum. I feel there's other movies like this. I feel like there should be a term for it. I'll have to think of it. But
trademark. Yeah, what do you do.
The end of this really blew me away. I meant to look up like the last line of it. It sounds like a poem. I don't know if it's like a famous poem, like those last lines of the movie, but really beautiful. And that final shot of her at the bottom of the ocean, good gravy. Just really gorgeous. So this movie, and I've been thinking about this movie all day. It really won me over in the end. So I'm at 4 stars as well.
Goodness.
4 stars from Proto, and now the host that chose this movie. Let's hear your final thoughts and rating.
Watching this twice and not really knowing where it was at, and both times finishing it, just kind of, you know, still contemplating what I watched, the story itself, but realizing that this is an incredibly beautiful film. I love the performances. The cinematography is gorgeous. And as Proto said, there is something about this whole kind of snowball effect to this film, how it just gets to the end and it really does barrel towards that finish line. And so I think I'm right there with you guys. I think I'm at 4 stars as well.
Oh,
it's a pretty incredible film.
Yes.
What a way to kick off Leading Ladies Month. This one. Great pick.
You're welcome.
Glad I can check this off my list. Next, we have some emails.
Stop.
Furia just posted a Photoshop. My God.
That's it, baby. Picture's worth 1,000 words.
Putting that on a shirt.
If we had a Movies Anywhere bundle, you would have won for that one. But as it goes, we do not this week. So let's head to our emails. You can shoot us one at 70mmpod@gmail.com or voice memo or an old-fashioned text email. This one comes from Scott. When honoring the leading ladies in cinema, do you take into consideration the Bechdel test? Have you ever talked about the Bechdel test? As for May, can I suggest NC-17 films that would be awkward to watch with your parents month? The Bechdel test, as Scott is explaining to me. Scott is mansplaining the Bechdel test to me. It has to have at least 2 named women in it who talk to each other about something else besides a man. And that is from Scott. So thanks for the email, Scott. Danny, your thoughts on NC-17 Films Month?
I don't see any reason that we will ever cover NC-17 movies, but so that's probably never going to happen. The Bechdel test, I have thought about it, but I really just, I don't know. I was going for like a stacked house with Campion and Holly Hunter and Paquin all winning house. the Oscar for these films. So yeah.
Big time stacked house. I have heard of that. And I did not think of it when I took into consideration for my pick. But it is, a test that more people should know about. We're not really an NC-17 pod. It's just not our vibe, you know?
Yeah.
Not our vibe.
We even, back in the day, I think the first year we were going to do a certain movie and then we switched gears because it was NC-17.
I remember that movie. I was going to have a guest too. That was real early on. It was like, it might have been episode like 5 or something.
It was like last summer, I think. No.
It was episode way early 5. On.
I think it was, I think it was really early.
I don't think of the same movie.
Oh, no.
Oh, did it happen twice? Wow.
Oh, no. You're thinking of a more recent event. Thanks for the email, Scott. I think we have another one to get to. It's from Robert. Subject line, the piano and sad piano theme. Hey, 70mm pod. I was very excited to hear Danny announce the piano as the first Leading Ladies Month movie. The first time I saw it was in film study class in my first year of college, and I was not ready to appreciate the incredible direction, performances, and complexity of the relationships like I am now. I was also definitely not expecting the nudity, but I'm sure you talked plenty about that already. After rewatch, Power the Dog is still my favorite of Campion's, but the piano isn't too far behind. After the mention a few episodes ago of how you guys needed a sad version of your theme song, I thought this movie would be an apt one to send my amateur attempt at making a somber piano cover of the exciting theme. I hope you enjoy or at least inspire someone else to do even better. Vontmer's eyebrows just went up at this email. he's in the studio with us. He's in the corner with his piano. Thanks for all the awesome work that you all do. Movies wouldn't be the same without you guys and the community you started. This is from RWT Chats in chat right now. All right, here we go. Let's see what we got here. I think that was pretty good, to be honest.
I agree.
Is it going to end the show, Prado? Should we end the show with sad, 70mm sad? That's the file name.
Sad.
Thank you very much, Robert. It was beautiful. I agree. Maybe we do need variations of the theme.
Mm.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
We'll have to talk to our people. I think that is it for feedback this week. So now it's time for me to reveal my pick for next week.
It's time.
A lot of people were trying to get into my pick pants. They were trying to get me to say Kill Bill. And I thought about Kill Bill.
Did you?
I was like, maybe it's time for us to go Horde for Uma. You know, the big one.
Excuse me.
But I didn't want to. So the main reason I didn't pick Kill Bill is because I felt like I think we'll all love it, you know? And I wanted to go in a different direction.
Leave room for hate.
I wanted to leave room for hate. I wanted to leave room for a different kind of discussion. So one of my other potential picks was going to be The Apartment.
Another was going to be.
With Shirley MacLaine.
Uh-huh. Never seen it.
But I wasn't sure if she was really technically the lead of that.
Oh, gotcha.
So I also, you know, that was another reason why. And, you know, she's the only real woman in the movie.
A lot of pivoting.
Did a lot of pivoting. So I have had one movie in mind for my pick. And I felt like this is, you know, great female cast. And I think it will create a pretty fun discussion, good or bad, because this is a pretty divisive movie according to the average Letterboxd ratings in our group. I think you both have seen it.
Oh.
But my pick, we're going with The Queen, 2018, Natalie Portman in Annihilation.
This is
the movie
that
knocked my 4K socks off.
Yeah, it did.
Oh, baby.
So I'm really excited to watch it again and talk about this science fiction film. I had a lot of fun on this rewatch. There is some great visual effects in this.
Yeah.
And I think we'll have a fun conversation to dig into the meanings of this movie. Prado, what do you think about that, Pat?
This is great. I've been wanting to rewatch this. So, especially in 4K, I remember that review coming in, you weeping on your floor, tapping that one out into Letterboxd. This is awesome. Yeah, I didn't really think of this, but yeah, you look at this cast: Natalie Portman, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Gina Rodriguez, Tessa Thompson. There you go.
Oscar Isaac.
Oscar Isaac in a smaller supporting role. So we're going to be getting a great cast for the majority of this movie. So this does pass the Bechdel test.
Two for two.
Two for two. You know, this is streaming. I do want to point out for folks that don't own it or don't want to rent it. Streaming on America's Network, Paramount Plus right now. So if you want to get that free trial, Sarah says, lol, watch them talk only about the boys in every scene.
Sarah's
Oscar's only in it for a few.
Don't spoil it.
Okay. All right. Kev says it's available in 4K on Paramount Plus.
There you go.
Holy moly. All right. Okay. All right, Proto. We're kicked off the first week. Any closing thoughts? Take us into next week.
Closing thoughts? I don't really have anything. I'm really excited. So far, so good. Great pick, Danny.
Thank
the
you.
Piano.
Yeah.
Does Jane Campion miss?
Never heard
I
her
guess
miss.
I guess we'll have to find out. Watch the rest of her movies. I plan on doing it.
Millimeter is a tape deck production featuring original artwork provided by Danny Haas. Spiritual Guidance and V'ger, the robot who loves movies, provided by Pertalexis. Producer at large, Dale_A. Transcripts provided by Sophie Shin and music composed by Cinematric. Prints and other merch are available on 70mmpod.com. This episode was mixed, edited, and produced by me, Slim. Support our Patreon for access to our VHS Village Discord to talk movies with new friends, access to our exclusive episodes in the 70mm vault, discounts on merch, uncut episodes, and a physical membership card mailed to you. To check out other Tape Deck podcasts, find the link in the episode notes. And if you'd like to support our friends at Letterboxd and upgrade to pro or patron status, you can do so with a 20% off discount using the links on 70mmpod.com. Goodbye.
This is a Tape Deck Podcast.